Hi, thank you for joining us at UInc. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. And when we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to lead you in a more positive, successful direction in life and in business. Some of these tools you will find helpful to save lives of earthlings today, and others you will wait for the moratorium on factory farms for the demolition of confinement facilities. This week's tool is compassion, and we are doing yet another installment in our two-month journey across the globe, and today's show was recorded just before Labor Day on the Hair of the Dog stage at Burning Man in the sweltering Nevada desert. Let's listen in to free ourselves of willful ignorance and learn the true meaning of compassion this holiday season so that all earthling families can have a very merry holiday.
You're not alone every night. I stand in your place. Every tear. Every face tastes the same.
The group Mercy for Animals started as a passion project of a then young boy, Milo Runkel. His passion for the liberation of factory farmed animals sparked an international movement of compassion for our fellow earthlings. His innovative and sometimes guerrilla tactics have gutted the conscience of those who up until now lived within the confines of their willful ignorance. Undercover exposés of the horrors of the industrial agricultural corporations that operate massive scale confinement and horrendous slaughter of billions of animals have come to light because of his groundbreaking and pioneering work in compassion for our sentient brothers and sisters relegated to a life of slavery and torture and cruel killing practices. This can be seen as nothing short of a Holocaust on an even grander scale. Thanks to this compassion, the numbers of individuals that identify as having a plant-based lifestyle has more than tripled in the past decade. Plant-based food industry is also quickly taking over the dairy and egg markets, once cornered by big ag corporations that confine chickens to battery cages for their entire lives, often dying alongside their brethren packed into these jails, and cows that were impregnated repeatedly only to steal their calves once born to force them to produce milk perpetually, erstwhile the calves are shackled in dark crates until their short lives are ended to provide a dish for those who are unsuspectingly contributing to this by consuming veal. Having always been ahead of the curve, Mr. Runkel also started Circle V Music Festival, which is part fundraiser, part gathering of those who have committed themselves to a plant-based lifestyle, and part continued awareness of issues surrounding animal rights, and also to provide support for those who want to move into the industries that support plant-based living. Most recently, Milo Runkel has stepped away from the now widely influential foundation Mercy for Animals, having built it up to be a force to be reckoned with when it comes to the corporate agricultural industry and holding them criminally responsible for hellish conditions and treatment of our sentient brothers and sister earthlings, massively raised, confined, and killed for their profits. He now focuses on his compassionate advocacy and inspiring compassion globally to change the way we think about animals, and today, he is with us here at Burning Man in the lovely Hair of the Dog stage on Rods Road. Welcome, Mr. Runkel.
Thanks for having me. That's quite an introduction. Quite a lot to live up to.
Right. So first of all, let me say I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for your work. It has also given me inspiration to continue to be a voice for the voiceless and challenge people's thinkings when it comes to animals. But compassion can be exhausting. So is Burning Man a good place for you to kind of get away from shouldering all those responsibilities and no doubt that burden that you feel that you have with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for anyone who is compassionate and finds themselves becoming aware of all of the cruelty that you just mentioned,
right,
there's a real risk of compassion fatigue and burnout.
Yeah.
And it's important that we nurture not only our bodies, but our minds and our spirits as well, so that we can be energized, we can be present, and we can continue to lead from a place of love, which is really what being an animal advocate to me is about. It's not just being against cruelty, it's being for compassion.
Mm.
And that includes to fellow humans.
Right.
And sometimes when you're faced with just sort of the darkest side of humanity on a daily basis, seeing animals locked in cages, animals beaten, animals having their throats slit, it's important to recharge and to see that humans are capable of such innovative, creative, fun, playful, and again, loving acts so that we can push on. Because the animals really need us to be lifelong advocates for them.
Right.
And I think that Burning Man is a great place for that.
Great. So Burning Man, you didn't know it, but this is self-care. Okay. So I was expecting you actually to wear white today. I've kind of noticed that it's kind of your kind of color. Does that symbolize something for you?
Yeah. You know, I've been going to Peru the last 3 years to a shaman and have really found plant medicine, in this case ayahuasca, to be very transformational for me. It has led me down a path of a lot of self-love and acceptance and releasing judgment. And a lot of that lesson has been choosing lightness over darkness, and in terms of cruelty versus love, and really moving towards love. And for me, there's just something about wearing white and beige and light colors that really make me feel light and elevated and more present. So it seems very trivial, but I think the way that we dress and express ourselves can really affect our mood and how we show up for people and for ourselves.
Right.
So it didn't start as a conscious effort, but now I just really resonate with wearing white and light colors.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So basically it's a kind of like a reflection of where you have been going in terms of your spiritual journey.
Yeah, exactly. It is one of many ways in which my spiritual journey is reflected outwardly. Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of journeys, you also just came back from a large cross-country journey. Having gotten out there and really seeing the nation up close and personal, what are some of the changes that you have seen when it comes to the compassion levels of those who have encountered or reflected in our current culture?
Internationally or in the United States?
Either.
Both? Yeah, well, there is definitely a major shift happening. Mm-hmm. And you talked about the number of people who identify as vegan rising, the number of plant-based foods on the market expanding. And a lot of this is happening with young people.
Mm-hmm.
There was a recent study done that found that 1% of baby boomers identify as vegetarian, 2% of Gen Xers, and a whopping 12% of millennials.
Wow.
So it's really a bell curve if you look at the generational change that's happening for animal rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just as we look back through history at the civil rights movement, the women's suffrage movement, the LGBT movement, those are oftentimes movements that progress from one generation to the next, and we're seeing that with animal rights as well. So I'm incredibly optimistic about the future. The truth is that we have limited time. Time is running out. We look at climate change, which animal agriculture is such a leading contributor to.
Yes.
We're going to have 10 billion people on this planet by 2050.
That scares me.
We are, you know, the oceans are dying because of overfishing. So we're really at this pivotal moment where we can choose not only compassion, but also sustainability through innovation. We have the tools. It's a matter of pushing forward against these really entrenched lobbies and interests that want to keep the status quo.
Yeah.
And I think that young people recognize that.
Yeah.
So that's something that Mercy for Animals is really pushing forward, as well as the Good Food Institute, which is another organization that I helped launch, which focuses on innovation in the food space.
Mm-hmm.
So supporting plant-based food companies and even cellular agriculture, growing cells outside of animals to make meat products that is meat without the murder.
Yep.
So I think that the future is really bright if we can just put the energy and the resources and the focus on it.
Right. Actually, I'm going to ask you one of those questions about one of those industries. But just to drill down just a little bit more, going cross country, right? Like you're going to like these little towns. Do you even see it there, kind of like in some of these towns where, you know, tradition is king and kind of like long held belief systems? Do you still see it in some of like in that smaller arena?
Yeah. So I was born and raised in one of these farm towns. I was born at home on a couch in a village of less than 2,000 people,
wow,
surrounded by cornfields. Our family still has a farm there.
Right.
And I see the changes there. I see it with my own family.
Right.
My dad is essentially vegan. My grandmother, you know, you can go and find soy milk and veggie burgers in these communities. So I think that, quite frankly, social media and the internet has sort of opened this floodgate of information, which quite frankly didn't exist when I founded Mercy for Animals 19 years ago.
Right.
We didn't have YouTube. It was very difficult for people to see the undercover footage, to see how these animals are treated as meat, milk, and egg producing machines. And I believe that people are really inherently good. They want to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of having that choice
and
that option to do so. And it's becoming much more easier.
Okay, so Americans and globally in general have developed a fanatic relationship when it comes to their companion animals, namely dogs and cats. Yet many don't seem to have the same compassion for other animals, for example, pigs, which are just as smart, just as playful, they bond just as much as dogs. Also, you see Americans up in arms over the consumption of dogs and other regions of the world, like the Yulan Festival. And why do you think that there is a compassion disconnect?
Yeah, I think this is a great question, right? We love certain animals and then we eat others.
Right.
And it is, I think part of it is just that animals that are raised and killed for food are really the ghosts in our machines.
Mm-hmm.
Few people will ever spend time with a pig or a cow or a chicken. They don't know them as individuals with minds and personalities and intellect and bonds with each other. And I think that it's difficult for people to relate that those that they don't know. And that, I think, is the main challenge. And we have so many wonderful farmed animal sanctuaries around this country, and I have seen that when people go and they spend a day with these animals, they realize that they're not just pre-processed, packaged goods.
Yeah,
these
they get to see what it actually is.
That's right, and I mean, pigs are more intelligent than dogs. Chickens understand that recently hidden objects still exist, which is beyond the ability of small children.
Right.
They can count. They have a unique language of their own. Cows experience eureka moments when they solve problems. They jump for joy.
Oh,
they
wow.
have best friends that they spend most of their time with.
I didn't know that.
So these are really fascinating creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, we live in a country where half of homes have dogs or cats. Half of those animals will receive gifts this Christmas season. We spend thousands and thousands of dollars on veterinary care for them. They very much are members of our family. And once we can realize that the only difference between a pig and a dog is our perception of them,
mm-hmm.
it has nothing to do with them, it has everything to do with us, I think it makes it much more difficult to support the industries that abuse them.
Right, because you get exposed and you actually see them. And it reminds me of a quote that I had read by Jane Goodall, and I won't say it word for word, but she said something about that social media, speaking to your point earlier, actually has allowed for people to be aware of what's going on and has changed, made these massive changes around animal compassion and animal rights. And you know, that's probably what we need to keep doing more of, right?
Yeah. And you know, there's an incredible doctor, Melanie Joy, who's written a number of books, including Why We Love Dogs, Eat Pigs, and Wear Cows.
Mm-hmm.
And she has coined the term carnism as a term for this disconnect of why we love certain animals and eat others. And, you know, to really be able to label something and realize that so much of that is cultural conditioning.
Yeah.
As you said, in India, cows are oftentimes revered as being sacred.
Right.
But you go to the Philippines and dogs are eaten and cats are eaten. And in many ways, they're just more consistent with their ethical beliefs.
True.
We're really the hypocrites here. You think of the film The Cove and people being up in arms about
dolphins
that are being slaughtered in Japan.
SeaWorld,
That's right. And these people are just consistent. They don't have these arbitrary lines. So for me, I think that we can be consistent, but with widening our circle of compassion to include all animals, not yeah. just certain ones or none at all.
And this actually makes me think there's a magician that currently has a Netflix special where he has a series, and then so he goes around and does like a street magician, and he goes and he finds people and he offers them vegan bacon for $5 or pig bacon for $1, and almost all of them that he encounters will opt for the pork until he magically makes a baby pig appear, upon which the participants there change their minds and opt for the vegan bacon, and they still choose it even though he upcharges them at that point in time and he says $25. So for those listening, the audience out there, how can each and every one of us help to instill this kind of compassion short of making pigs fly and appear like that magician did?
Yeah, so I think this really gets to the heart of how, once we've had this awakening and this sort of aha moment that other animals are not here for us, but they're here with us.
Yeah.
And we really can choose kindness over cruelty every time that we sit down to eat.
Yeah.
And to me, this is about living our values. And most of us would not, in good conscience, abuse any animal.
Right.
Few of us would even kill an animal ourselves to
right.
eat, especially when we don't need to. And I think that gets to the heart of what you just said, is once we're face to face with these animals, that it becomes less of an abstract concept mm-hmm. and more of a reality.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that in terms of how do we push the ball forward, the answer is different for all of us because we each have our own unique talents and skills. I mean, you're doing this interview,
yeah.
have this show, have this platform.
Mm-hmm.
Other people may be artists and want to express this issue in a way that will have an emotional impact on people. We have people in the investment space who are using their finances to fund companies that are changing the entire game with innovative projects.
Mm.
We have teachers who are using that platform to educate and inspire. So I think that regardless of where you're from, what your background is, there is a unique place for you in this movement that will be sustainable, that will bring you to life, and that other people will resonate with. If you're a great cook, creating vegan food for people
right.
to taste that veggie bacon is just as good, but has no cholesterol, is going to
yeah.
be better for your heart in more ways than
right.
one.
Yeah. That's great advice, especially, you know, when people think about, you know, how can I do it? But, you know, doing it within the realm that you're already good at,
exactly.
and then just adding those choices and those contributions, that's great advice. Okay, there's also kind of a not so quiet battle going on inside of the ranks of vegans. Some are adamantly against sending any type of message outside of strict veganism. And some feel it is more realistic to meet people where they are, and even if that's one day eating vegan one day a week, or 75% plant-based diet, which we all know is widely recommended anyway by all nutritionists, regardless of what you do the other 25%. But in your vast experience on this topic, is one a better way than the other to foster that compassionate eating in others?
Yeah, this is a great question. I'm a huge advocate of progress over perfection. And the Meatless Monday campaign, I think, is a great foot-in-the-door program where people who are used to eating meat 3 times a day and might say, gosh, going vegan overnight, that's not something that
yeah.
I can do.
Right.
But I can give up meat on Monday. And if everyone in the United States did just that, we would spare over 1 billion animals a year
right.
from the horrible conditions that you mentioned earlier. So small steps can have huge impacts. And just in terms of human behavior, once we take a single step forward on anything, on an issue, it's much easier to take the next step and the next step.
Yeah.
So once someone realizes that going meatless on Monday is quite easy and enjoyable and delicious, going meatless on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday becomes much more manageable.
Right.
And I think sometimes if people believe that it is all or nothing, you oftentimes will get nothing.
Yeah.
And again, that's why the progress over perfection, because veganism is about sparing lives. It's not about a laundry list of ingredients.
Yeah.
And I think remembering why we're doing it is really helpful.
Yep.
And, you know, some people say, yeah, I could be vegan except for dairy. And I say, great, go vegan except for dairy now. That helps a lot of animals.
Right, it does.
Yeah. And I think sometimes vegans can get so caught up in the bubble that it almost becomes about being self-righteous mm-hmm. instead of helping animals and,
right.
and being sort of veganer than thou.
Yeah.
And animals need us to be effective, not right. And I think that that's what's really important to remember.
Great advice. Okay, so kind of piggybacking on that, you had mentioned earlier about companies that make alternative meats but not real meat. There's a company called The Just Company, which produces the vegan mayo, Just Mayo, which is delicious. They've also come up with an egg substitute out of the mung bean, among other products. But most recently, they bioengineered actual meat grown with plant enzymes that are used to feed these animal cells that they've gotten, and in the case of the video that they show, from a feather that fell off of a chicken, and they give it plant enzymes and not bovine, which is something else they were very careful about, and it multiplied and it became into what we would recognize nutritionally and digestively as actual meat. In fact, it is far superior nutritionally and for your body than the meat grown in the factory farm, not to mention, of course, it's cruelty-free. What are your thoughts on how this affects our compassion for animals as food? Do you feel that it might counter that? Because I've heard also that sentiment been around.
Yeah, well, I'm a huge supporter of clean meat, as this is called, and cellular agriculture. Uma Valetti, who started another clean meat company called Memphis Meats, calls this the second domestication. The first being, you know, 10,000 years ago in the Neolithic period when we started to domesticate cows and then pigs and then chickens for food. And this second domestication being a reflection of the advancements that we've made in science and technology to removing animals from the equation who are just not efficient at converting feed into meat or into milk, into eggs. There's so much that goes into just the energy of existing, and there's so much that becomes waste and excrement, which is terrible for the environment. Yeah. So I think that this is really exciting and could be the closest thing to a magic bullet that we have of eliminating animal agriculture. And it's called clean meat for a number of reasons. One is a tip of the hat to clean energy, mm-hmm. because clean meat, many studies have shown, uses up to 90% less water, less energy, emits just about as much 90% less greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah.
It's just far less resource intensive. The other reason it's called clean meat is because it literally is cleaner. As we talked about, in traditional animal agriculture, slaughterhouses are incredibly filthy places. You have animal excrement all over the place. You have birds that are going into tanks of water that are just contaminated with feces. So you get Salmonella, E. coli, Campylobacter, but you don't have those issues with clean meat because there's no feces involved. You're literally just replicating cells.
Right.
So I think that anything that we can do to spare the lives of animals and create higher quality food, we should. And I think when people realize that they're not supporting the torture of animals, it becomes much easier to relate and sympathize with them because you're not having to justify supporting the slaughter of animals on a daily basis.
Okay, so in essence, it doesn't affect their compassion because we know you know what you're doing when you're eating it.
Yeah.
And so you know that you're making a compassionate choice, because I know that people have argued that, well, you're still eating meat and you're still, you know, then you don't have compassion for animals. But when you look at it the way you, from the point of view that you're talking about, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, and I think vegans don't want to eat clean meat. Great, don't eat clean meat.
Right.
I think that this is a product that really is designed for meat eaters.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that just have no interest in eating a plant-based diet.
Right.
And while the number of vegans and vegetarians is rising, like, we're still not breaking 5 or 10% of the population.
Right.
So
right.
it's this other 90% that we need to think about. I think that's really our obligation to the planet, which is suffering, and to animals that are suffering. And the other thing is, while we should strive to live the most compassionate life, there is death involved in a vegan diet as well. Mm-hmm. There are mice and rats and birds and rodents and insects that are killed in the harvesting of all of the plants that we eat as well. So there really is no way to be a Puritan.
Right.
And I think getting to this point of, you know, if you pluck a cell from a live animal and they go on, is that technically vegan or not? It's kind of losing the real picture of food production.
Right.
And this is all about doing the most good that we can in an imperfect world.
Right. And in the end, it really doesn't matter because we're saving lives.
Exactly.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit more about the Circle V Music Festival for those who want to get involved and perhaps attend one day? Because I think that those types of events are key to be with other like-minded, compassionate individuals, keeps us inspired and innovating.
Yeah, so Circle V Music Festival is a project that Mercy for Animals launched with Moby. And the idea is to grow it to be essentially the vegan Coachella or the vegan Burning Man to some extent. And I think that that music is so powerful and can be so transformational for people. And if you look at Woodstock and you look at, you know, these fun but culturally important events that are based on art and connection, incredible things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we also want to get outside of our echo chamber of vegans. And I think one way to do that is to have incredible artists that have their own following that come for the music but are going to get information about factory farming and vegan health and nutrition and try incredible vegan food and walk away saying, hey, this is not only fun, but this is the right thing to do, and this is delicious, and I can really lean into that. And there are so many artists that are vegan. I mean, you look at Paul McCartney to Miley Cyrus to Morrissey and, you know, countless in between.
Yep.
So last year was the second year of Circle V. We're pausing it this year to grow for next year. But I encourage everyone to come. CircleV.com. It's one good time for a great cause.
Right. So you started Mercy for Animals when no one was thinking about factory farmed animals as a young boy in a small town of Ohio and made it into the brand that it is today. For those who are thinking of starting their own compassionate advocacy, what are some best practices for them to be a success in an enterprise like the one you have started?
So I think if you're looking to start an animal protection organization, the first thing is to see if it's really necessary in your community or something already exists. Because setting up an organization takes a lot of work and infrastructure, and I think the most important thing is to get people's talents out into the world doing the great work.
Thank you for being on U Inc., Mr. Runkle. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And now, a word from our person on the street.
So, Sarah, what are your thoughts on compassion?
Thank you for asking.
That's a compassionate response.
I think I, like everyone, has a lot of thoughts on compassion. First thing that comes to mind is to know about compassion, you have to be taught about compassion. So that really harkens back to my family. And I think a lot of the education I've received hasn't really been explicit, but the actions I've been exposed to, and a number of those actions I think that really resonated with me as a child were just small things like whenever we would go to a fast food restaurant, we might buy the people behind us. I remember the very first time I ever pulled up to a fast food restaurant and I was told oh, hey, the people in front of you already covered it. Go ahead. And it was just really odd to think about how narrow of a mind sometimes I can adopt in terms of just thinking about how my daily life is. I think about all the things I'm trying to do, how I'm gonna get there, without any thought about the fact that I'm gonna be surrounded by so many different people throughout my day, and I have no idea who those people are. So I think compassion is the willingness and the consideration of the fact that there isn't really a place in the world that you can be alone a lot of the times. You have to seek out being alone, and the willingness to not want that, to be okay with being around all these different people you don't know, That's where compassion lies.
Well, thank you for being on UINC and talking about compassion.
Yeah, totally. Thank you.
And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Ria Greif, and you've been listening to UINC on 90.5 WCBE.